Welcome everyone to the Apothecary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Yep.
Was I Dr. Van Beek last week though?
You were Dr. Van Beek last week. You can be Dr. Van Beek 2 weeks in a row. Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. With multiple certificates and degrees.
And one certificate that I better get done by next month or I will lose it.
But no citations. No citations.
No.
Just degrees.
No.
And certificate.
Though I almost bought a citation once.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. Are you old enough to remember the
Pontiac citation? Yes, the lovely Chevrolet citation. And it's,
Chevy citation.
1980, I believe that came out, did it not?
They were, and it was really a piece of crap. It really, really was not one of the better ones.
Yeah, I was 13 years old in 1980. Let's think about that for a second.
Oh, wow.
I believe I had a Juice Newton album. But anyway, I digress. Anyway.
I would have had an Elton John, so that's okay.
I had an Elton John album, too.
Crocodile Rock.
That was before we kind of assumed things about Sir Elton. Anyway, So, Lair, we're going to talk about not the first chapter of Revelation this week, but...
the second chapter of Revelation.
Oh, yes.
And we are getting into the seven churches.
Yes.
And so it's important for everybody to know that... I think the seven churches are seven churches. some people think that they are representative of periods of time. So if you're a historist, Ephesus is the early church, right? Or actually the primitive church. Smyrna is the early church. And it goes in 500-year increments.
Oh, but now where are they? Where the Sam Hill? I could use other words there. But where the Sam Hill do they get this idea from, though?
I don't know. I've never understood the historist view. It's one that, and it's not just later. It's not just an offshoot of dispensationalism, even though now it is an offshoot of dispensationalism. It has come up at different periods of time, through history as well. But you know, they just kind of looked at it and thought, yeah, that's what it means. But the modern historists,
Yeah,
Scott. See, I'm going fast now because
you're doing great.
I did not, because I didn't spend enough time studying this.
Don't go there.
But the modern historists, what they do is they say, well, these are different periods of time. You know, primitive church, early church, you know, suffering church, church in the Middle Ages. But they will always finish with, and Laodicea is the church right now. And that's of course the last one here.
Okay.
And Laodicea will be the lukewarm church. And they'll say, well, look around you. Is the church not lukewarm? And every one of us will look around us and go, well, of course, yes, it is. Unless we're in the midst of some kind of heavy persecution.
But
I think, and most scholars, maybe that's fair to say, would think that there were seven actual churches that John visited. And that John was writing too. Now he chose seven. Would have fit his series of sevens in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Seven churches, seven seals, seven bowls, seven thunders. You know, and there's actually seven sevens in the book of Revelation as well.
Yeah.
Whether John planned that or if that's a God thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all good.
David Downey, the great scholar David Downey, would have probably said John planned this out. This is a literary prophecy. But anyway, I think that there's seven actual churches. The important thing that you need to know about the churches as well is when you read them, each one has an angel over it, right?
Right.
This is to the angel of the church of Ephesus. So the angel, some would say that's a messenger. If you don't believe in angels, you're going to say that's the pastor. We talked about that last week, right? This is the pastor over the church. If you're Pentecostal, you think that actually churches have angels over them.
Yeah.
And in Revelation, angels are always running around bringing messages.
Right.
And so that fits very well, very nicely as well. The second thing then is every one of these churches, the beginning of it, the angel that comes to him, the beginning comes from the vision of Jesus in chapter 1. So pretty well every one of these churches has something from that vision in chapter 1, and they end with something from the end of the book, from chapter 20, 21. And so each one of these churches actually encompasses this entire book a little bit in the way the message comes to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I still think that these messages were very specific to these churches, and they apply to us when we fit into what's being said there.
That makes sense to me, too.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one, then.
Yes, it's not the hit parade, but it is the first church, which is to the church in Ephesus. So, folks, we're reading now the ESV, mostly because I just picked it. so there, take that.
Yeah, and there are no copyright laws for that.
And there's no copyright laws at all, right.
In case some judges amongst our 12 listeners. So.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The 13th listener. The 13th listener.
Ooh, the 13th warrior, yeah.
Okay, so first one. Chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read to the end of this little section about the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patience, endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. And if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans? Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, Nicolaitans. Good.
Nicolaitans. Oh, yeah, I got it right. Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
So you see what he says to the church in Ephesus. You know, this the primitive church, if you're a historist, he's saying, first of all, the angel's coming from the one who holds the seven stars and walks amongst the lampstands. Remember that from chapter 1.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who holds the seven stars, the messengers to the churches, and walks amongst the churches. And he says, he says, I know your works and your patient endurance, and that you do not put up with evil. You test those who call themselves apostles. You're endure patiently for my name's sake, right? But you're doing this without the love that you had. So, and this one you could say to just about any church, and they go, oh man,
thanks everyone.
I was crazy about Jesus when I first became a Christian. You know, you couldn't stop me from talking about him. And over the years, I'm still going to church every Sunday. You know, religiously going. I'm still doing the things that I have to do. But I'm just doing it, and I'm doing it without the love. And people talk about this in marriages and everything else. And then he goes on, he says, just remember where you've fallen from. You're not completely beyond me here. I just want you to love me the way you once did, you know? You know, I don't want this relationship to be stale, is really what he's saying. But then he says, hey, but this is something I like. You hate the work of the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans, right? Nike, of course, was the conquering god in Greek. He's the conqueror. Okay. The Nicolaitans, so they call themselves the Nicolaitans. They're the conquerors. Later on, he's going to talk about the error of Balaam, right? So you've got the conqueror of the people, the Nicolaitans, Balaam, the conqueror of the people as well. So you've got, they're very similar kind of heresies that he's talking about here. And then he talks about Jezebel as well. So he's got these different things that we think might all point to lawlessness, right?
Okay.
So he says, you hate them and I hate them. I hate their works. He doesn't say I hate them. We'd get in trouble with somebody if we said that. He says, I hate their words. He says, if you've got an ear, listen to what I'm saying. This doesn't mean that deaf people can't understand. There have been Christians in the past that said deaf people can't be Christians because you have to hear the word of God. And you know, and so, and we don't want to go there in this day and age. But then he gives a promise from the end of the book. If you conquer this thing, you're going to eat of the tree of life. Remember, the tree of life is in Revelation chapter 21.
Yeah.
Which is in God's paradise. So come back to me. Love me again.
Yeah. Okay.
I do feel guilty when I read these. I want you to know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't feel guilty, you're probably not being honest with yourself. Yeah. If you feel that self-righteous, good on you. But anyway, okay, picking it up at verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write.
I was thinking when we normally do this, I usually only pick two or three of these churches. I don't do them all, do I? Because it takes too long.
Well, why don't we do these three?
Well, let's do Smyrna.
Okay, let's do Smyrna.
Because I love Smyrna.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's a lovely
Russian
place
vodka,
in Georgia, I believe.
Smyrna.
I believe there's a Smyrna, Georgia, to me, is there not?
Is that in Russian Georgia?
No, I think it's in, U.S. Georgia. Mm. I believe. I'm going to have to look this up, and we'll correct it in the next one. Okay. So here we go. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death.
So Smyrna, Smyrna was one of the Roman settlements, and they did very well with Smyrna, and it was a total sellout to Rome, and so the Jewish population there, which was also trying to get along with Rome, were saying, you've been letting the Christians get away with things, right? And we are not them. You've often said, we've been letting the Jewish people go, and this is a sect of Judaism, but Christianity is not a sect of Judaism, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were turning the Christians over to the Romans, and some of them were going to be put to death in Smyrna. And so that's why he says this. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty and the slander of those who say they are Jews but are of the synagogue of Satan. Hmm. So he says the Jewish people that are turning the Christians over to the Romans and saying they're not us, their religion is not our religion, you need to do something about these guys. Remember, Judaism after AD 70, and that's one of the reasons I put this book so late, made a pact with Rome. Right? The Pharisees made a pact, and they said, if you leave us alone with our religion, we'll stop killing Romans and we'll try to be nice. And then they turned the Christians over and said, but these are not us. And so the author of Revelation says they are of the synagogue of Satan because they're turning over God's people.
Right. To be killed. I get to know.
Yep. Very much like Jesus in the book of John, when he's talking to them and they say, we were not born of fornication. You know, we are Abraham's sons. And Jesus says, if you were Abraham's sons, you would have believed in me. Mm-hmm. But you are like your father, the devil, who is full of lies. So he said they were the father. And then and then John says, this is the synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. But then he says, don't be afraid of what you're going to suffer. So these guys are poor. So they can't get a job because they're Christians, and then they're poor. Which we said was very much like Russia in the 1970s. If you weren't part of the Communist Party, you had to take lesser jobs.
Right.
And so Christians couldn't get good jobs. So Christians suffered. Same thing happened in Smyrna. So they're poor. They're not rich because they're poor. This is important. God is not saying you need to live in poverty. He's saying you need to serve me. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be important with Laodicea as well, because they're rich. But then he says, some of you are going to, so here they are poor, and then they're going to get thrown into prison. Some of you will be thrown into prison, and then you're going to get tested for 10 days. So 10 days means a limited period of time.
Right.
And then he says, then I'm going to flood you with wealth like Job, and you're going to have, you know, a new wife and new family, and it's going to be great. Oh, no, his wife never died in Job. He has a new family. Sorry. But he doesn't say that. He says, in 10 days, be faithful, and you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I will give you the crown of life. Well, thank you very much. I was really hoping, you know, to live at Club Med and show that didn't have an effect on me.
Yeah.
And then he says, if you have an ear, listen to what the church, what the Spirit says to the churches. So if you listen to me, you won't be hurt by the second death.
Yeah.
And this actually becomes a very, very important piece of this book, because he says to these Christian people in Smyrna, if you live for me, you're going to be arrested, you're going to go to prison, and you're going to die.
Yeah.
But the second death won't hurt you. You're going to be with me for eternity. And this is very much what happens in this life doesn't matter. What happens in eternity is the most important thing.
Right.
And it's very different than the way even Christians think today.
Yeah.
Not all Christians, but we want to think that if you live for God, good things are going to happen to you. You know, if you read your Bible, you're going to have a good day. If you don't, then you're not going to have a good day.
Yeah.
And to this group of Christians specifically, he says, you're going to die for me.
Yeah. It's so much foreshadowing of what's coming, right?
Yes.
All the way through.
This is the book.
Yeah.
This is the book in a microcosm.
Yeah. And he even harkens back to that, like you said in the previous one about Ephesus, he harkens back to his introduction in Revelation by saying he's the first and the last. He recalls that Alpha and Omega to them again. Remember who I am.
Oh, yeah. Good point, Steve. I am the first and the last. And the message to them is I died and came back to life.
Yeah.
And he also has nothing bad to say to these guys. For most of the churches, except I think Philadelphia and Smyrna, he says, I have this against you, but he has nothing against Smyrna.
Yeah.
Maybe don't kick them while they're down. Yeah. Or maybe he had nothing against them.
Yeah, maybe they were just doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
At the end of everything stand, right? You know, at the old, that old way of putting it, you know, at the end of all temptation or whatever, just simply stand and do what you do.
Yeah. And if you ever get a chance, read the Philippian fragment, because the guy in the Philippian fragment says, God, if you put me in the lion's den, the lions in the games were very, very late. They're way after this period of time, of course. But he says, if you put me in there, I won't do you proud, God. I'll run around screaming and crying, and I'll just embarrass you. So don't put me in the lion's den.
Yeah. And just like we all would be, really, right? You know, we can talk brave, but we, when it comes down to it,
we're not so brave.
No. Well, good deal. Okay, well, then, folks, we're going to leave it there for this week. We've gone through two of the seven churches. So you've seen from Ephesus and Smyrna, a little bit different, like Larry says, different feeling between the two, right? Ephesus, I have this against you. You're faithful, but you've lost your first love. You've lost why you're doing what you're doing. And Smyrna, guys, just hang in there. Yeah, you're going to die, but hang in there. And I think you'll say this several times throughout the book, right? God's okay with that.
Yes. Death isn't a big deal to God.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to us.
Yeah. So, folks, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in a week's time. We'll do more churches out of these seven, maybe even another two, and then we'll go from there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Unpopular Podcast.